This is RBN, the Republic Broadcasting Network.
Welcome back. You're listening to Immunize Wisely with my guest, Lisa Jelani. And yeah, we could probably talk forever, but I want to, you know, go back to, or actually start a new thing. Bills in North Carolina, there have been tons of these proposed statutes that have come through. And it's like, it seems like every year, you know, the deep state tries to introduce some, you know, more legislation to try to take away our rights. So, you know, what have you been able to do about that, and what are some of your successes and failures?
Well, in 2015, actually it was a Republican, not that, you know, it's two sides of the same coin, but typically in North Carolina, the Republicans lean more in favor of freedom, more so than the Democrats. So it was really surprising that it was a Republican senator who sponsored Senate Bill, I believe it was 346, that would have removed our religious exemption to vaccinations. And in North Carolina, we just have the medical and the religious. And so PAVE, along with, you know, hundreds if not thousands of other North Carolinians, stopped the bill within about 10 days. And a second bill was released, and now I'm a little foggy on the numbers. It was a House bill. I believe it was 568, something like that. That was a study bill, and people really didn't see any harm in it, but because they thought, oh, well, you know, they're just going to be, you know, studying vaccines to gather information. Well, those of us who had been in the fight long enough knew that what would happen would these be that these representatives would cherry-pick their experts to come in and say, you know, vaccines are wonderful, nothing, you know, to worry about. And so that bill, if it had passed, would have actually set a precedent that other more restrictive bills could have pointed back to. And so PAVE was able to keep that bill from even getting out of the Rules Committee. It essentially died. But now we've actually been trying to get a bill passed rather than to fight one. We've been trying to get a bill passed that would protect North Carolinians from, well, it would keep businesses from demanding that their employees present, well, you know, it's a vaccine passport. I don't care what our governor plans on calling it. We were told that he's not going to call it a passport because that has negative connotations. But, you know, I'm not going to quibble, you know, over semantics with him. It's a vaccine passport. So this bill would stop employers from requiring it, and it would also keep businesses, we always use Costco as the example, it would keep Costco from demanding to see your papers in order to shop there. It would also prevent schools from mandating the COVID-19 vaccine as well.
Yeah, so, and now we're going to and this year, you did this big rally, and I did put the links in the chat room, you know, to your big rally. And so what? How is that bill actually worded? I mean, you know, is it up on your website? Can you, people see it at vaccineeducation.org?
Well, actually, to give you a little bit more information, the very first bill was House Bill 558. It would have protected at five different points. The businesses, as I mentioned, it would have kept insurance companies from denying you insurance coverage if you didn't get the shot. It would have kept the DMV from putting your status on your driver's license, or for keeping you from even getting your driver's license. It would have protected school and college age students. There was five different things, and it was actually the Speaker of the House, Tim Moore, who's a Republican, who's more on the side of his political campaign donors, you know, businesses, than he is the citizens of North Carolina. So 558 was defeated, and a much, much, much weaker bill, House Bill 572, that's the bill that we're trying to get protective amendments added to, because all this bill does is it's only effective during an emergency, a state of emergency in North Carolina. It would prevent a governor from authorizing or mandating a vaccine in a case of an emergency. Well, you know, when's that going to happen? That's not super likely. So we're trying to get some of the language from 558 put into this bill as well.
Are you still in a state of emergency? Because our emergency has never been officially lifted.
Ours, I'm pretty sure, has not been officially lifted either. I will have to say, because, you know, I do what I want to do. I don't wear a mask. I've never worn one, never will wear one. I honestly don't pay a whole lot of attention to whether there is still a state of emergency, because, you know, our governor's not my boss.
Right.
But I think officially it has not been lifted. He's loosened a lot of the restrictions, but I really don't think that the actual state of emergency has gone away.
Right, because I know in Idaho, you know, where every state is kind of similar in all this, they've been, you know, each year increasing the potential of some kind of public health emergency. And, you know, they'd be tagged on to different bills. It was constantly strengthening it so that the government had these dictatorial powers. And I think they were doing this kind of, you know, legislation throughout the country because, you know, just the way they did it in our country, you know, they tacked a whole bunch of new stuff on. Oh, gosh, it was, I think, 3 years ago, made them all stay over until they, you know, passed this bill allegedly for deadbeat dads, you know, that were over in Europe or something and they're not paying child support. And so, you know, a lot of our legislators were alarmed that that would open up international jurisdiction in our state. You know, like, we didn't like that. That was uncomfortable for them, and so they didn't want to pass it. And basically, they're threatened. It was horrible. So they stayed late, and they were threatened again that they had to pass this bill. I mean, it was like, and there was tons of this emergency stuff tagged onto it. It was more about that than deadbeat dads. The same kind of stuff that they do at the federal level, you know, where, you know, this thing on infrastructure that they're trying to pass has nothing to do with infrastructure. Less than 5% would actually go to any infrastructure, and it's all about getting us back in the climate change, you know, Paris Accord thing, you know,
right,
and doing the Great Reset. So, I mean, it kind of goes on and on with their New World Order agenda, you know, that, you know, these people go to these, you know, these state meetings, and, you know, there's legislators that are invited that vote correctly, you know, so they
right.
can be one of their pawns in their game. And, I mean, we really need to reinvent government, you know, because this has really gone on way too long. It's like you feel like you're, like, chopping at the branches of the Upas tree. Remember the Upas tree? Upas tree of slavery? It was an illustration they used way back in the 1800s where, you know, we're chopping at the branches and never getting to the root cause, you know.
Right. Yeah, well, here in North Carolina, we're going to do our best to try to get 572 passed. But we're very, very disappointed in the Speaker of the House. He actually got elected on the Tea Party. You know, the Tea Party was very instrumental in getting him elected. And then it seems like once he was elected, he just sort of, I can't really, you know, say without any kind of proof, but it just seems like he forgot his roots, so to speak.
Well, he changed his stripes, and you can tell by his voting record. He basically is now beholden to his new sponsors.
Right, exactly. And we did find out that CVS Pharmacy donated to his campaign and also our Democrat Governor Roy Cooper's campaign, which I hear that's pretty typical. But, you know, he who pays the piper calls the tune.
Yep. Oh, man, so hard.
Yeah.
So hard. So, yeah, these bills, you know, I mean, of course, that bill's huge on your mind. And haven't they recessed for the summer?
No, This is a long session. So they have to keep going until everything's settled. And the two big priorities right now are the budget and redistricting. Mm-hmm. So that's what their main focus is right now.
So do you know when 572 is going to be heard again?
No, it's in the Senate right now. It's in the Senate Rules Committee. And we're working on the language to get a sympathetic senator to put it into the bill. And then it's going to be up to Bill Berger, who's over the Senate, as to how it proceeds.
Right. So, you know, this is, I mean, if this could affect your employment, you know, I mean, what if the FDA decides, I mean, they certainly have approved of all these horrifying vaccines and aspartame and God knows what else, you know, that's, you know, actually, I mean, believe it or not, fluoride's never been approved, but they've certainly approved of a lot of other horrifying things like, you know, GMOs, you know, being equal to, you know, other organic food stuff, you know.
Right.
So, so the FDA could at any time, you know, in spite of all these deaths and horrifying results of these COVID shots, they could all of a sudden approve it. And then, and even without a state of emergency, I mean, this state of emergency is ridiculous. This is not a state of emergency. What's an emergency is, you know, the roll out of 5G, in my opinion. That is emergency, but anyway.
Right, yeah. My train of thought just got derailed. Oh, back
it's
to
okay.
Businesses. I'm already getting emails from people, mostly from women, saying, you know, my husband's employer is saying if he doesn't get the COVID-19 shot that he will have to wear a mask. And then there's cases in North Carolina of school children being humiliated in their class for having, you know, not gotten the shot, and then they have to sit there with the mask on. I think it was one of the mayors in one of the towns out east of North Carolina that happened to his child. The child was, you know, publicly humiliated because he was. It's so weird. Now if you're unvaccinated, you got to wear the mask. So that's the kind of things that are going on here, and I'm sure they're going on in all the states.
Wow. Yeah. Luckily, we have a lot of more patriots here, and the schools, you know, are filled with a lot of special needs kids, and so some of the kids were protesting the masks here, the students at the high school, and one of them was saying how they shame the special needs kids. They, you know, they don't want to wear a mask, and they're much more bullies and mean to the special ed kids to keep them masked.
That's horrible.
And it's a matter of control. Yeah, it has nothing to do. The kids can see that has nothing to do with public health and everything to do with control.
Yeah, and, absolutely.
Yeah. Right. I mean, the kids aren't stupid. So really horrifying stuff. I mean, you never thought. I mean, did you ever think this would happen? I mean, you've been doing this for 25 years. And did you ever think that this it could ever get this bad?
I'm speechless. I never ever thought it would get this bad ever. And you know, actually, and I say this kind of jokingly, but kind of not. I believe that if that Fauci's sitting there kicking himself, Fauci and Bill Gates saying, "Why didn't we do this sooner?" You know, because they see what sheep the American people are. And, you know, I can see them saying, you know, if we'd known that the people were going to be this easy to manipulate, we should have done this years ago.
Right, exactly. I mean, you know, why not? I mean, to me, 9/11 kind of proved how easy we are to, you know, be manipulated. But, yeah, I was really horrified. Frankly, Lisa, it put me in shock and awe. You know,
yes,
and when I get into shock and awe, it's like you feel somewhat immobilized. It's like takes a little bit for you to get your gumption, and you could hear Peggy Hall, and you could hear, you know, all these great guests I've had on. You know, and
yeah.
It's like, and Sherry Tenpenny. It's like, you go, girl. But I don't know if I could. I mean, you know, and you know, then I get these kind of emails. I mean, you and I saw early on the need to preserve history. You know,
right.
The history of smallpox and polio, that was huge for us. And I remember there was a group of us, you know, grab all the books that come up, you know, and get them in someone's library, you know, keep them out of the hands of the pro-vaxxers. And so, you know, we have that section on our website. You and I have emailed over the years of different things, whether it's the Raggedy Ann story or, you know, whatever it is. And it's pretty interesting, you know, because you know, the whole smallpox story of you know, Jenner vaccinating his own child and James Phipps, that totally changed from what the accurate history is on that. And it took me a long time to actually try to nail down that history from a more credible source. But yeah, they created a James Phipps Museum and made it like he lived till he was 43 or 4.
He was 21.
Right. Yeah, but I'm just saying they have this all of this, you know, fake history in a museum now to, you know, boost up, you know, the whole their whole version of the smallpox story.
Right. And, yeah, as you and I both know, but just so your listeners will know, you and I and Dewey, you know, worked on preserving a lot of those old history books. And you still got those on your website, right?
We do. We have,
yeah.
If it's not on our website, it's at Soil and Health out of Australia or New Zealand. I forget where they're from. And then of course, John at Whale, too, has a whole bunch of them. So, you know, if they already have it up on their websites, then we just have links. So, but yeah, we have a lot on our website too. And I think it's like extremely important. We spent a lot of energy scanning them in.
Yeah.
I remember I grabbed a Diet Prevents Polio by Sandler, you know, in North Carolina, by the way.
Yeah, you know, I've actually got an original copy of that myself.
Yep. Well, you know, I sent it overseas early on before scanning was such a big deal. And John at Whale, too, of course, he, you know, had a scanner, probably one of the first out there. And he begged me to mail it to him, and he'd mail it back, and he scanned in the whole book.
Yeah, I actually scanned it and then made a photocopy so I would have two of that, but I'm a history major, and, you know, history is incredibly important. And, I mean, this quote has been used until it's worn out, but, you know, we're doomed to repeat it if we're not aware of it. And so that was one of the first things I started doing when I started PAVE, was I started researching the history of both smallpox and polio. Because, you know, everybody just automatically thinks that vaccines got rid of those two diseases. And, you know, you ask somebody, well, you know, how do you know they did? It's not based on any research the person did. You know, I like to call it your third grade health teacher told you.
Right, exactly. In fact, I want to mention the book that you turned all of us on to that went, you know, Tenpenny just went crazy over it. But that was you that told us about it. So we have a break. Please stay tuned. You're listening to my esteemed guest, Lisa Gelani of PAVE, celebrating their 25th anniversary of teaching people the truth about vaccines.
Concerned about being informed and being ready for whatever may come. Please consider the following questionnaire as a soul-jarring wake-up call. If you answer no to more than two of these following questions, you probably aren't going to make it through any major disruption in our country. The questions were compiled by people that have been there. Are you really ready? Do you own your own firearm for the primary defense and protection of you and your loved ones? Have you ever been professionally trained to stand against life-threatening behavior? Have you ever practiced enough to fire 500 rounds during a 2 to 4 day time frame, day and night? Can you load, unload, fire, and clear a jam in total darkness? Have all the adults in your household been professionally trained? Are you, life and death, comfortable with your abilities with pistol, revolver, shotgun, and rifle? Are you aware that everything that you do to prepare for an emergency is a waste of time, money, and energy? If you haven't honed your abilities to their highest level to protect and keep what you have, do you have the repair parts that will most likely be needed for each of your firearm, and do you have the ability to install those parts? Could you completely clean every firearm you own? Are you aware that your body won't go where your mind hasn't been? In other words, without proper training, followed by regular practice, you probably will not win a gunfight. Well, how did you measure up? Take the once-in-a-lifetime opportunity to start correcting your deficiencies by receiving your Commander Lifetime Membership with Front Sight Firearms Training Facility. A one-time donation to RBN for $500 will give you a Commander Lifetime Membership at Front Sight as a tremendously huge thank-you bonus. See details on RBN's webpage to make it happen. The clock is ticking. You had better be ready before it happens.
Extendivite's 7-herb formulation is approved to help maintain cardiovascular health and help lower blood lipid levels in adults. Extendivite is made from hawthorn, garlic, valerian, cayenne, bilberry, ginkgo biloba, and milk thistle. The herbs in Extendivite have been chosen for their ability to help with overall health. Many people have reported improved energy and stamina in just a few months. If you think you could feel just a little bit better, then Extendivite may just be for you. Extendivite is an all-natural supplement. Extendivite is only $69.95 for a 2-month supply. To order, call 1-877-928-8822 or visit heartdrop.com. That's HEARTDROP.com.
Extend your life with Extendovite.
Okay, welcome back. You're listening to Lisa Gelani on Immunize Wisely, and I just was mentioning about the history that Lisa's helped preserve, but she turned us on to an excellent book that was published in North Carolina at the Duke University Press, Bodily Matters by Nadja Durbach, The Anti-Vaccination Movement in England from 1853 to 1907. And even, you know, in order to get it published at a university, of course, it had to have a little bit of a pro-vaccine slant, but you can certainly read between the lines. It's absolutely fascinating. It's a page-turner, and you really get a good taste of what really happened back in those days. Right, Lisa?
Yeah, I love that book. And what I really liked about it was it just told the facts. And in my opinion, you know, there was no slant to it. It wasn't pro-vaccine or anti-vaccine. It just told, you know, the facts. Here's what happened.
Well, it was a little pro-vaccine at the beginning, the introduction and stuff. I mean, there were little slant, little hints. Otherwise, she wouldn't be able to get it published.
Yeah, I will have to say I don't remember the book entirely. I just remember being impressed and thinking that whoever reads it could certainly see that she was not trying to say vaccine saved the world.
Absolutely not. Yeah. I mean, because she showed what happened.
Yeah. And especially in Leicester, England, there 80,000 people turned up to protest the smallpox vaccine. 80,000 people.
Right. It was huge. I mean, these massive protests, and they were able to have smallpox completely under control just from sanitation, you know, like actually doing, you know, proper sewage treatment, you know, running water, you know, those kind of things, and actually just isolating anyone that got smallpox. They just did isolation methods.
Yeah, and I'm terrible with remembering numbers, so I hate to ever have to quote a number, but I seem to recall that in Leicester, when I believe that they didn't, I don't think they outlawed the vaccine, they just didn't mandate it, and the number of cases of smallpox just plummeted compared to the other parts of England where it was mandated, cases actually were higher.
That's right. Correct. I mean, they virtually just dropped once they stopped the vaccines and implemented sanitation measures and isolation. And that is cited a lot, and they did a good job in Bodily Matters of going into great detail. I mean, the woman, Nadja Durbach, must have, you know, traveled or had, you know, I mean, she must have gone to England and, you know, really dug into some history. It's really well done. So that's Bodily Matters by Nadja Durbach. Did you ever try to reach out to the author, Lisa?
No, I never did.
Okay, just curious, because you live there.
But, well, actually, Ingrid, I thought she was from England. Am I mistaken? I could be mistaken.
She could be. Actually, she could be. It's just that it was published in North Carolina.
Yeah, the UNC Press is pretty prestigious. They're not going to publish a book that's, you know, not, like, very well-cited.
Yeah.
So to get published by UNC Press is, you know, it's a pretty good honor, a pretty nice honor to be. And not to get too off topic, but just as the smallpox cases in Leicester dropped when they stopped forcing you, in the last few days I saw a chart where the U.S. states with the heaviest lockdowns had the heaviest COVID rates. So, you know, go figure.
Yep, that's exactly true. So, you know, I know you mentioned, you know, the whole situation with Fauci. I mean, what do you think about all that coming out right now? I mean, it's just shocking.
Yeah, I think it's wonderful. Yeah, I will say my prayers are answered. I pray every night that the evil in this country will be revealed. And so, you know, I hope it's starting to happen. And I am a little bit concerned that mainstream media hasn't picked it up more, but not surprised. But, yeah, I'm very glad to hear that, especially since poor Dr. Mikovits was so vilified, you know, by him.
Right, exactly. Yeah. No, Fauci needs to go. I mean, there's a lot of people calling for his head at this point. I mean, the emails were incredible. I don't know if you had a chance to even look at them, but icandecide.org. They have all of them there, and of course they did a summary in their press release, but, you know, a couple of people are telling me, you know, some of the other detailed emails. I mean, some people take more time and they, you know, dig in those, you know, nearly 3,000 pages of emails, and it's quite juicy.
Well, I can't wait. I am definitely going to read those. I've only read the two that that have been posted, but right now, the bill is my number one focus, but I do have those that link to those emails saved, and that's definitely one of the things I'm going to be checking into.
Right, exactly, because you could be using that to argue your cases. So
exactly.
You're listening to Immunize Wisely on the Republic Broadcasting Network, and my guest, Lisa.
You are tuned in to the Republic Broadcasting Network. Visit our website by going to republicbroadcasting.org.
Hey, honey, I'm home. I grabbed the newspaper on the way home. Look at all the news today.
The newspaper? Don't you know that all you're going to get in the newspaper is propaganda, twisted news, and false information?
Honey, this is a national newspaper. It has to be true.
Ha! Huh. For some reason, a majority of the population believe anything the mainstream media tells them. The newspaper does not give out the important attention on what's happening to this country and news that affects our daily lives. Say, does that newspaper mention anything about the North American Union?
No, not that I can see.
I didn't think so. You need to go to www.newswithviews.com, where truth is more important than political correctness. That's www.newswithviews.com. Hey, don't throw that away. We can use that in the birdcage.
Okay, move over. Let me start reading newswithviews.com.
The truth? Read all about it at newswithviews.com. Newswithviews.com, where reality shatters illusion.
Homeowners, if your lender has gone out of business or sold your transaction to another lender or servicer, you may be the victim of a wrongful foreclosure resulting in the loss of your home. If you've already lost your home, are in foreclosure, or even in good standing, you can challenge the mortgage transaction's illegal issue and your property can be restored to you, and your foreclosure can be stopped or reversed and the mortgage transaction declared unenforceable. State laws, U.S. title codes, the Uniform Commercial Codes, and U.S. Supreme Court rulings have upheld that defective mortgage documentations can reverse or stop foreclosures and enforce property title claims in favor of the homeowner. We are having successes in stopping the process of foreclosure, the enforcement of the foreclosure judgments, the sale of property, and evictions after the sale. We are not attorneys, and we don't give legal advice. We are a professional team of legal researchers, providing forensic mortgage audits and expert witnesses. We have the knowledge to produce the evidence and enforce laws regarding your legal issues. We've been in business for 12 years without a complaint. Consultations are free, and we provide a free title search to confirm if your mortgage has legal defects. Please call 855-253-3748. 855, the number 2, keep it today.
Hey gang, Patrick Slattery here with an important message that is pertinent to anyone who shops for groceries, eats food, or just has an inquisitive mind like myself. What I'm about to introduce you to is a segment of our food culture that has been kept so low profile to the American public that virtually no one is aware of how dominant it is on our refrigerator and cupboard shelves. What I'm talking about is the kosher certification industry and the new app, Koshertified, that delivers a comprehensive education on all aspects regarding this little-known practice. After reviewing this app, I found that it is useful for practically anyone who purchases food, regardless of their religious faith or identity. Its database of products not kosher certified is a win-win convenience for all food-conscious people. So why not check out thekosherquestion.com or click on the link at nationalbugle.com and see how modifying your grocery shopping with the Koshertified app can make a huge difference for your future.
Okay, welcome back to Immunize Wisely. We're at the last half hour, and I'm going to go ahead and open up the caller line, but even though we can certainly talk, if we don't have any callers, that happened last week. I think Meryl Dory was so interesting, but I understand it's also summertime, and I have all kinds of duties to do. So anyhow, the number to call in is 512-248-8252. Again, that's 512-248-8252. If you have the 800 number memorized, that's okay too, but we're trying to get you used to the non-800 number because it definitely saves money. So if you have a question or comment, you know, feel free to call in. I want to just Yeah, the Fauci emails are huge. There's other stuff I actually wanted to bring up because you've had some great conferences. If it weren't for you, you know, you were really spearheading the shaken baby syndrome with highlighting Ellen Yurko's case. That was a huge thing that you were involved with in hosting the website. And a lot of people did not even realize the amount of shaken baby syndrome all over the country, which is a fake diagnosis. It's actually a cover for vaccine damage. So I don't know if you wanted to even, you know, mention that.
Yeah. I'm glad you reminded me about that. Yeah, my husband started the website for Alan and Fran, and then she took it over. And it's my understanding she's still keeping that site live. And in my opinion, you know, that's the go-to place for information if you or a loved one's been accused of shaken baby syndrome.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, we still have an extensive section on our website, shaken baby syndrome. You can go to the keyword index, and you know, every couple of years, I want to make sure all the links are active. But I've checked fairly recently, and they are. I mean, it's a pretty serious charge,
yeah.
And I mean, you know, they'll take away your kids, any excuse, and then if someone goes to jail or prison. And they've been accused of that. Nobody questions it. They are absolutely a child murderer, or you know, you're treated like a pedophile. And,
oh yeah,
it's absolutely wicked because you know these men are invariably innocent because there's really no such thing. Well, I mean, most people aren't going to shake their kid over 50 times, their head bobbing back and forth, and then you know, there's no neck injuries.
Right.
I mean, that's the first thing. The first defense is, does the baby have a neck injury? If there's no neck injury, there's no shaking.
Yeah, and Dr., I believe you pronounced his name, Albayati.
Yes,
Albayati. I believe his research showed that it's impossible to physically shake a baby hard enough to give it a subdural hematoma. That it takes way more force than what you can do in shaking it. And like
right.
you said, the whole neck injury thing. And luckily there hasn't been anything in the news in North Carolina in a few years or so. But anytime, and I don't really listen to mainstream news anymore, but the times that it's brought to my attention, anytime, you know, there's a picture of, you know, the father, it's usually the father because that's who's alone with the baby. It shows their face and, you know, how they've been put in jail for child abuse. And, you know, in the past, I think all of us in the movement tended to immediately think, oh, he hurt his child. But after the Yurko case, that's not the first thing we think of anymore.
Right. In fact, Violet Harris, she was in the Boise area, Nampa, and that's where our capital is, by the way. And so she was very active, you know, educating legislators. You know, first the aborted fetal tissue being used in vaccines when they all claim to be, you know, born again Christians and, you know, against abortion. You know, all that kind
right,
of, I mean, she
right.
really nailed them. I mean, she was great. But they used to call her the angel of Boise because. She always read the paper and would scan it, and there were tons of these cases. And each one, she would find out who they were, write them in jail a letter, and give them all this information. She goes, you know, if you're guilty, you know, God rest your soul, but, you know, if you're not, you may want to know this information. And they were just so thankful that there was another way. You know, and she, yeah, so the court cases started getting a little more intense down there once people got resources. But just recently, gosh, it was maybe a year or two ago, Dewey Duffel, you know, our webmaster, he's in Thompson Falls, Montana, and there was a case that went through there, in Thompson Falls, and he said he tried to reach out, but he was really busy at the time, and it was very difficult to try to reach the prisoner. But, you know, they generally pick on someone that is not well-networked, that's poor, because if it's not, it's either called a SIDS death. I mean, if the baby dies, it'll be attributed to SIDS, and if it's shaken baby syndrome, it's really targeting the poor people because they need to. Yeah, that's usually the thing, because I know we had a case up here, Shelley Walker, and she knew it was the vaccines. But anyway, everything about the death of her child, you know, the bleeding and the eyes, the whole thing would be classic shaken baby syndrome, but they just labeled it as SIDS.
Yeah, actually, every time I see a case here in North Carolina that I believe may be vaccine-related, I find out who the attorney is, and I send them information, but I've yet to be contacted. And my belief, and you can tell me what your opinion is on this, it's typically a public defender.
Yes, yeah, because they can't afford an attorney.
Yeah, and so my question would be, how much does that public defender really care about defending this person? And so off the top of my head, I can think of three times that I've sent information to the attorney, and sometimes too, if I can locate a family member. But I've yet to be contacted back, sadly.
Yeah, and there was a gal, Tony Blake, in San Diego, who, you know, has SBS defense, and she's just kind of disappeared off the radar. I don't know if you ever heard of her.
No.
Yeah, she was a, some kind of a legal counselor, or attorney, or anything. That was pretty much her specialty. SBSDefense.org, and anyway, she had everything to defend someone. But it, like I said, it has been a while because you don't hear about these cases as much. It's, I think it's, they're going more towards SIDS cases because it's so horrifying. I mean, my gosh, to have the babysitter being charged, the family totally making it like it's their fault and it's wicked. Remember Debbie Grader in Pennsylvania? She had a daycare.
Right.
And she actually felt really guilty. Do you remember what happened? She felt really guilty to the movement for basically doing a plea deal and not standing up, because the prospect of her being in jail when her children were, preteen and teenager, when they needed their mom the most, she couldn't go there. Her kids needed her. And I kept telling her she made the right decision. I kept encouraging, you made the right decision.
Yeah, well, everybody has to do, what they think that, is best for them, and nobody has the right to make a judgment.
Well, family comes first, your children.
Right.
As a mom, look at what David Irving went through. Do you remember David Irving?
No.
He was the... David Irving is the premier historian from World War II. I mean, he had probably at least 30 books. From our view, this would be revisionist history. It would be like the books we're looking for, right? Like Bodily Matters, right?
Yeah.
And he was the first person I know of who was banned from entering Australia. It wasn't Sherry Tenpenny or Polly Tomney. But he would go on these lecture tours, and, they got to keep World War II a secret, what really happened.
Yeah.
And so he was thrown in prison in Germany, and they would not let him out unless he renounced his entire life work. And he had family and children, and he felt like that was a waste of his energy. So he renounced all his life work publicly in order to be with his family. But he still lectured. And he still had his books available. I heard him speak afterwards, in our country.
I think that's
okay. I mean, what's the purpose of being in prison till you die?
Right. Well, you know, I would support, you know, any decision that somebody makes, because it's not my life, you know. I'm not the one that's going to have to live with their decision. So, you know, I'm fine with that.
Well, anyone that that's read any of his books or has any of their books knows that, I mean, he's literally the top historian. Why would he write any books if they're all lies?
Right.
I mean, he put his whole life to it. I mean, he just needed to publicly do that. This is just, you know, I mean, you have to choose your battles. Why be a martyr? That's stupid.
Well, I'm going to write his name down. Tell me his name.
David Irving. I'm surprised that you're a history major, but yeah, you would not have learned it in school. David Irving, IRVING.
Well, World War II is not my area of focus. My area of focus is Revolutionary War.
Yeah, well, you would actually be fascinated, because World War II is when the New World Order really took control. And if we don't know what really happened in World War II, is why we're reaping all the problems we have today.
Well, I'm not totally dumb about it. It's just not my area of focus. Yeah. And I'm actually reading Eustace Mullen, some of his books right now.
Excellent.
Yeah, I've got just about every one of his books. I thought I had all of them, but I think I'm missing a couple. I was very honored to be able to meet him several years before he died.
Oh, wonderful. Yeah, we heard him speak at... Yeah, what a wonderful man. I mean, really just amazing. And, you know, his books are in PDF. A lot of them are in PDF now online.
Oh, okay. Yeah, I'm old school. You know, nobody wants to help me move because they know I've got lots of books.
Oh, that was like Violet Harris. I mean, she had an archive of everything. And I was the same way. In fact, I just built some more shelves this weekend because I have some, you know, collections of books that are really old, you know, and I don't want to, you know, if I were to give them up, they have to go to a good home that's going to preserve them, you know?
Right. The way I got Sandler's book was... a chiropractor in Florida was retiring, and he was selling a lot of his books. This was years ago.
Mm-hmm.
And you were bringing up some different people who were accused of shaking baby. You know, I'm not going to say definitively, but as soon as, you know, the whole shaking baby thing got on my radar, I thought way back to the case of... who was the babysitter, Louise, I believe was her first name.
The one in England?
She was from England, but I think she was a babysitter for someone maybe in Massachusetts. Louise Woodard, I believe, is her name.
Yes. I vaguely remember, yeah.
Yeah, so, you know, all these old cases, I look back on them, and I'm thinking, you know, maybe they weren't really... shaken baby. I think it had to have been in the 80s. I think it was well before I even had kids. Barbara Walters interviewed a young man in prison who was in prison, I guess, for life, supposedly shaking his baby to death. And Barbara handed him a doll and said, "Show me how you shook the baby." And he demonstrated it. Now, granted, he could have been lying. You know, there's that possibility. He didn't really show how he shook the baby. But at that time, I remember thinking, wow, that's all it took to injure the baby?
Yeah, just kind of jar. I mean, that would be an instinctual thing. If your baby...
it's not breathing,
not
you're going to shake it.
Right. Well, yeah, you want to jostle them awake. I mean, you know, is the baby dead? You know, I mean, you know, this is what happens a lot of times. So you immediately pick it up and you just kind of lightly shake it, you know.
Right. Yeah, and I'm thinking, you know, all kinds of things, you know, now in hindsight, I'm thinking, well, what if that poor guy thought that he really did injure the baby just by shaking it that amount?
Mm-hmm.
And I think Louise Woodard's case was similar. She's seeing the baby laying there lifeless. I mean, what are you going to do, pat its cheek?
Yeah, let's spank it on the bottom, you know.
Right.
Let's pour a glass of cold water on it, you know.
Exactly. Oh, geez. It's just instinctual that you're going to, you know, quote, shake it a little bit.
Yeah, jostle it, try to, you know, see if it's going to respond.
Right. Well, you know, I will tell you, Angry, there never was an opportunity where anyone ever asked my girls to babysit when they were younger. So I never really did have to do this. But I made it a point when I got involved with the Yuriko case that neither I nor my girls would babysit for any children under the age of 3.
Right, or anyone that was vaccinated,
right,
under the age,
right,
of 3.
Yeah, which at that time, you know, was pretty much most people, you know, were getting the shots. But, you know, as fate would have it, we were never asked. But and I've told people, you know, as part of PAVE, I tell them, you know, my opinion is you should not babysit particularly vaccinated children that are 3 or younger.
Right. I mean, you're really putting yourself in jeopardy.
Right.
Right. Because there's too much ignorance on the whole thing.
Right.
Because
okay. You're going to be there alone.
Okay. Stay tuned. Listening to Lisa Jelani of PAVE on Immunize Wisely.
It's happening, ladies and gentlemen. We here at RBN are working with Front Sight Firearms Training Institute to bring our audience the best in combat, tactical, and defensive firearms training. Whether you're a private citizen who is new to firearms, or you have a concealed weapon permit, and want a level of training that surpasses what you've received from your local gun range, Front Sight provides priceless education and skills taught by seasoned law enforcement, military, and private citizen instructors to levels that far exceed law enforcement and military standard. With nearly 1 million responsible citizens trained from every town, city, and state from across the United States, Front Sight has bolstered the Patriot movement to a whole new level. Contact Dan Sutterfield by phone at 573-762-2356 or 573-465-2356 or shoot him an email at domedan, domedan at hotmail.com. This is a limited time opportunity. Don't miss it.
Extendivite has proven time and again it really works. Here's a testimonial from Amazon.com. I am only 40, but I have put my body through hell working in manufacturing for 20 years. I recently started to notice a buzzing feeling along with a stuttering sensation with my heart. I had a full cardio stress done, which I passed. I decided to try Extendivite after getting the jingle stuck in my head. Halfway through the bottle, I really did notice a difference. After getting home from work, I would just sit in a chair for a few hours feeling like crap, and this stuff reduced that feeling along with heart discomfort to almost nothing. Extendivite is only $69.95 for a 2-month supply. To order, call 1-877-928-8822 or visit heartdrop.com. That's HEARTDROP.com.
Extend your life with Extendovite.
Corporate media dominates the American opinion. Finding independent voices that counter this avalanche is becoming increasingly difficult. With the endless corruption running rampant throughout our government, independent voices are needed more than ever to battle the offensive against our freedoms and liberties. As a listener of RBN, no one understands this concept better than you. Now it's up to you to do your part. The time has come for you to take action and begin broadcasting the truth to hundreds or thousands of people every month. Sound impossible? Quite the contrary. With pointed slogans from LibertyStickers.com, you can reach countless sleeping Americans unaware that they live in a real-life wonderland. LibertyStickers.com has a huge inventory of political bumper stickers and messages that reflect the truth about our government, our politicians, and the future of America. With so many in stock, there's one perfect for you. Visit us today at LibertyStickers.com. Again, that's LibertyStickers.com. Do your part. Your voice is important. Let it be heard.
Mm-hmm.
Okay, welcome back. We're right at the end of the show, and we did not have any callers. I guess our conversation is so interesting, or you're outside, because it is beautiful outside. I don't blame you. But, you know, you've given lots of talks on this issue, and you certainly have, you know, put on lots of conferences and attempts to educate people. So what would you say to people out there that, you know, think that other people should be doing this work and that they're going to focus on other things? I mean, what do you recommend that people do to protect their rights, you know, and why it really involves all of us?
Well, I mean, I say this a lot in some of my Facebook groups that, you know, you can't just sit there and expect a handful of us to protect your rights. And there's a poster that I made to take to our rally on May 10th. Pave made a bunch of different free posters people could use. And one of them says, I need to be able to tell my children, now I'm going to blank on the exact words, but basically saying I need to be able to tell my children that I did something. And because I tend to be, and I want to keep the language on your show G-rated angry, but
no, it's okay.
let's just say I tend to be a bit of a smart aleck. I'll let you, you know, think what I'm really saying there. But I actually made a meme of a young woman talking to her elderly grandma, and the young woman says, Grandma, back in 2018, what did you do to protect our rights? And then grandma says, I clicked like.
You did what? Say that again. You did.
The meme is a picture of a young woman talking to her grandma in a nursing home.
But they clicked what?
I clicked like. You know, you've got to do more than sit there.
You're sitting at your computer and you click L-I-K-E. Yeah, you like there. So you basically were passive and just doing your, like, support of other people doing stuff.
Right, you went to the Capitol to try to get the bill passed? Oh, like, let me click like on that. You know, while I sat here and did nothing, I know that people have different circumstances that they can't come out to protests or rallies or whatever you want to call them, but you've got to be doing something. And over the years, I've told people, as far as like donations to PAVE, I say if you can't give money, give time, and if you can't give time, give money. And there's absolutely I challenge anybody that feels like that they can only click like. They need to get in touch with me, and let's talk about the situation and feel like how you can do something helpful.
Yeah, that's so good. Thank you so much, Lisa. Please go to vaccineeducation.org, support PAVE, and show Lisa that her 25 years worth of work is going to pay off, and that you get those North Carolinians to stand up for your rights. Thank you so much, Lisa.
Thanks, Angry. Thanks for having me.
Okay. Wonderful show. Thank you, everyone. Thanks to all our listeners.
Homeowners, are you in foreclosure, expecting to be served with a foreclosure lawsuit, or suspect your lender has coerced you into an illegal mortgage transaction? A huge number of mortgages made in the last 10 years have legal issues and are possibly defective. State laws and the U.S. Supreme Court have upheld that defective mortgage documents are grounds for foreclosure defense and for counterclaims in favor of the homeowner. If your mortgage has been sold or assigned since closing the loan, it may be defective and you may be paying the wrong party, and the lender may not have standing or the right to foreclose or collect payments under the law. If you would like to know if your mortgage is legal or not, or know if you are
are paying the right party, we can help. Our initial consultations are free of charge. We are not attorneys. We are legal researchers and work closely with experienced lawyers who know how to help you find the evidence to help you keep your home. Call toll free 1-855-2-KEEP-IT. That's 1-855-2-KEEP-IT today.